This is week number one, class number three of Living Faith. Now let's kind of review for a moment and get a running start for the remainder of tonight. What we just read there, and you can go ahead and turn back over to Hebrews chapter 11. What we read over there in Jeremiah, it is now Scripture, but at the time it happened, it was not Scripture. And when Jeremiah was prophesying and he was saying, "Thus saith the Lord," he wasn't reading from the Bible. There was no Bible to read from. What he was actually doing was delivering to Hananiah what God had given him to say. Later on it became Scripture, but at the time it wasn't. Now, Jesus made the statement that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. And we've already established the fact that the Bible fits into that category, because the Bible did proceed forth out of the mouth of God, but it was later put down in written form, and so we have Genesis to Revelation. But it originally was that which came forth from the mouth of God unto those which wrote it down. And now we have it as Scripture. But in Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3, now look at this again. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report," or a badge of honor. "Through faith we understand that the ages in which the elders lived were framed, put together, and structured by the word of God, so that the end result of how they lived can be seen. And it wasn't made of things which do appear," meaning it was made by the Word of God, the Word of God and their faith. Now, if you begin looking at this, he begins here giving us examples of what he means. In chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, he's telling you about faith. Then beginning in verse 4, he says, "Look, if that's not enough for you, just the fact that I said it, I'm going to give you examples of how the elders framed the world in which they lived by virtue of the Word of God," or by faith and the Word of God. In verse 4, he says, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous." Now here's the good report. "By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Now look in verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Now let's stop for a moment and consider this in just a little bit more detail. Noah did not receive the Bible, did he? No. But what he did receive was a word from God. Now see, you can go back and read these things in Scripture. You can read these stories. Noah received a word from God. God spoke to Noah and he said, "Noah, build an ark." Noah says, "Well, what for?" God says, "I'm going to flood the world because the sin is just absolutely horrid." Noah says, "Well, okay, I have received a word from the Lord. I am going to act on that word and I'm going to build an ark." So for about 100 years, Noah and his sons are building this ark. When that 100 years was over, when the ark was finished, all the animals are in. Noah, his sons, the families, they're in. God shuts the door and the flood is there. Now, I ask you, did Noah create or frame the structure of history by acting upon the Word of God? The entire face of planet Earth was altered because of what Noah did. But he had no Bible. All he had was the word that proceeded forth from the mouth of God. We miss this sometimes. Like, we read it in the Bible, it's like, well, okay, Noah read about having to build an ark. No, he didn't. God spoke to Noah. Let's look at a few more examples. Verse 8, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went." All right? And we know that Abraham changed the face of humanity. He changed the course of history by virtue of what he did. I've got to understand, people in China at the time didn't know what was going on with Abraham. But nevertheless, Abraham changed the world in which he lived by following the Word of God and doing what God told him to do, but he had no Bible for it. So you've got to understand it. These guys had no Scripture for what they did. All they had was the Word of God when God spoke to them. Now look in verse 17. Talk some more about Abraham by faith. Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now I ask you, did this not change the course of history? You better believe it did. But Abraham had no Bible for this. All he had was the Word of God. Verse 20, Isaac. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, let's stop right here for a moment. Let me give you an example. We may touch on this later on. If you remember the story, how that Isaac spake blessings over Jacob and over Esau. And you remember Jacob, you know, he kind of, a little bit of deception in there. But Isaac spoke these blessings. And when Esau came along and he says, "Hey, what about me? What about me?" And Isaac said, "I don't have anything left. I mean, I've already spoken what I was supposed to speak." Now see, if you go back and read that account, it makes it sound like that Isaac just made these things up. He didn't. You say, "Oh, come on, what do you mean he didn't? What, the blessings he spake, he got those from God." You say, "Well, how do you figure that?" What's it say here in Hebrews? By faith, the elders framed the world in which they lived by the Word of God. The blessings that Isaac spoke were blessings that came straight from God. You say, "Well, how do you figure?" Take a look at the result. What happened in Jacob's life later on? What was the result? And what was the result of Esau's life later on? See? Now look again here in Joseph, verse 22. It talked about... look in verse 21. Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped. Now remember how he switched his hands and laid his hands, you know, the right hand on the elder, left hand on the younger. I forget, you know, the exact wording in the Scripture. And then, Isaac says, no, that's not wrong. Oh, that's wrong. You've got to do it like this. And Jacob says, no, what I've done, I've done. You know, this is, you know, the right thing. And he begins to speak these blessings over these boys. But where did he get that from? I mean, what he was saying, it came from God. See, when you read these stories, it comes across as though these guys just made this stuff up as they were going. But not according to Hebrews chapter 11. These guys were speaking things that God had given to them. Now, if you want to see some more in this, in verse 22 it says, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, in verse 23, it starts talking about Moses. But if you look in verse 27, it's continuing about Moses. It says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians attempting to do were drowned. Now in verse 28 it talks about the Passover. So you've got to understand there was no Scripture for this. There was no precedent. All they had was the Word of God. And Moses stands up and he says, folks, this is what we have to do. Kill the lamb. We have to eat this much of it. We take the blood. We spread it and all this other. All they had was the Word of God. Now we've got the Scripture that was the result of it, but all he had was the Word of God. And the entire nation of Israel banked their very existence on what Moses was telling them he got from God. And the entire nation of Israel acted upon the Word of God. And look what happened. The entire nation of Egypt was wiped out. And the Israelites got free. And then when they come to the Red Sea, we know the miracle. The water parted. There was no Scripture for that. All they had was the Word of God. God says, Moses, do this thing. And Moses goes down and he stretches forth and all that. The waters part and they go across. And as the Bible says, that as they walked across on dry land, not wet, muddy land, but dry land, as they walked across on dry land, the Bible says that on both sides of them were walls of water. Walls of water! Walls of water! How intimidating would that be to you? Here you go walking across on dry land, and now remember, there could have been as many as 3 million people in that nation of Israel. How long do you think it would take for 3 million people to walk across that dry land that way? At least 15, 20 minutes, right? That's right. And the whole... Hey, listen. How'd you like to have been the first ones down there? I mean, if you're last, you figure, okay, well, it's held up for the first, 2,999,999. I'm the last one. It's got to hold up for me, too. But what if you're like the first 15 or 20? And you've got these walls of water, and you know, if it crashes down, that's it. You're going to die. I mean, I'd be afraid to sneeze. I would be, don't burp, don't do anything, man. Just walk. And here you go walking across, and you got these walls of water. But what were they walking on? They were walking on the Word of God. Their faith in the Word of God that had proceeded forth from God's mouth through Moses to the nation of Israel, where he says, let's go, guys. And across they went. Now, let's see some others in this. In same chapter, but look down in verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Did they have scripture for that? No. Did they have a song for that? No. They weren't yet singing Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho. All they had was the Word of God. And the Word of God said, that God, from His mouth, it proceeded forth, Joshua, here's how I want you to handle this situation. You do this marching, you don't say anything, and on the seventh day, the trumpets yelling and all this. And they did this. Now, remember, how long would it have taken for these people to walk around the city? Well, what if you were in the city and you're looking over and you're seeing, all of these people walking around the whole city? You know how many hours that would have taken? And they don't say a word the whole time? Not a word. Then on the seventh day, they come out, same thing, only this time the result is a little bit different. And the walls come tumbling down. And the people claim victory. But what were they acting on? The Bible? No. They were acting on the Word that had proceeded forth from the mouth of God. That's all they had at that time. None of these people had Bible. Everything you read in Hebrews chapter 11, none of these people had Bible for what they did because the Bible hadn't been given. But God says, when you read Hebrews 11, God is telling us that these people acted on His Word, and He says their faith is directly connected to non-Bible words from Him. See, the fact that we have it as the Bible after the fact can kind of cloud this issue for us, but we've got to remember, when they were acting in faith on God's Word, all they had was the Word of God, but they had no Bible. It had not yet become Scripture. There was nothing in writing for them to cross the Red Sea or to do these things that they had done. And God says that because of this, they changed the course of history. They completely changed the age in which they lived. They framed their world by the Word of God, the Word that had proceeded forth from God's mouth. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, a word of prophecy, they all have the same origin as Scripture. Please let this sink in. And I'm not talking about the goopy stuff. I'm talking about a genuine word from God. A genuine word that comes from an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, whatever it would be. The source is exactly the same as the Bible itself. If the Bible came from God, and it's the Holy Spirit giving the word of wisdom and all these other things, the source is exactly the same. There is no difference. One Scripture, the other will never be Scripture, but it still came forth from the mouth of God. And this is where we've got to get a hold of this and understand it, because even though the word of wisdom, knowledge, and prophecy will never, ever, ever in a bazillion years ever become Scripture, it will always line up with Scripture. It will always line up with Scripture. It is not going to not line up with Scripture. Somebody gives you a word, it doesn't line up with Scripture, they're telling you to do something stupid like, thus saith the Lord God Almighty, divorce thy husband and live happily ever after. New, 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 new. You just heard from a false prophet. You did not hear from God. God was not speaking through that person. God's not going to go around telling everybody to get divorced. And there are people out there that have operated and done that, divorced on the word of somebody that came along, and they found out after the fact they blew it. They blew it big time. Words of knowledge, wisdom, prophecy are always going to line up with Scripture. And here's the one that's going to trip a lot of people up. Not you, but other people. They should be treated with the same respect as Scripture. Oh no, Brother Martin. Oh no, you should never do that. Okay, let's go back. Is the source the same? Is it or is it not? Is it the same? Yes, it came from God. It proceeded forth from the mouth of God. If it's come from God, it should be treated with the same respect. I did not say you call it Scripture. Right? Don't go out of here and misquote me, because remember, this is all on tape. I didn't say that you call it Scripture. I did not say that you start a new book of the Bible in the notes section, you know, of your Bible, you know, and call it First, you know, First Bob or whatever. I didn't say that. What I'm saying is you should treat it with the same respect as Scripture. It won't be Scripture. It will never become Scripture, but you should treat it with the same respect as Scripture. Now, this right here, this what I'm sharing with you right this moment, is where a lot of people would maybe accuse me of preaching some heresy. But what did Jesus say? He said every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. He did not say every word of written Scripture. Written Scripture is included in that which has proceeded forth out of the mouth of God. If somebody, like Jeremiah said, when they speak it, if it comes to pass, then you know that it really came from God. If they speak it, it doesn't come to pass, well, it didn't come from God. Now, here's where some folks get messed up in this. They really don't believe that a true word from God should be treated with the same respect as Christians. But when you look at the Bible itself is a general word from God to the body of Christ. But words of wisdom, knowledge, and prophecy are usually more specific for the individual, for the family, for a church, and they can be general for the body of Christ. Like the one that we heard last week on the tape that I played for you, they can be general for the body of Christ. However, where we miss it is if we don't treat them with the same respect that we do Scripture. Now, I know that this is a foreign concept to a lot of people in the body of Christ. That's because it's like we've been taught that a word that comes from God through minister is second class to the Bible. Okay? Now let's run with that for a moment. If God's going to take the time to speak to somebody who's taking the time to listen to Him, how do you think God feels about this? Your God in heaven, and Billy Joe's been praying, God, I need some direction from you. God, I need you to help me out. Billy Joe goes to church, and the visiting evangelist is there, who knows nothing about Billy Joe. The visiting evangelist is preaching, and calls Billy Joe out. Says, sir, I believe the Lord would have me say this to you. Blah, 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 summa, summa, summa. And it is exactly what Billy Joe has been praying about. And it's exactly the answer that Billy Joe has been seeking. Now, if you're God, and you have just spoken through somebody to answer Billy Joe's prayer, how would you want Billy Joe to take this word? How would you want him to treat it? Would you want him to take it seriously? Would you want him to act on it? Would you want him to live according to it? If you were God, how would you look at this thing? But what if Billy Joe, from that night, goes forth and acts like he never got that word and keeps praying and asking God the same thing after God's already spoken to him? Well, if you're God, wouldn't you think maybe Billy Joe is just a little goofy? And see, this is a challenge to a lot of people's theology, because it almost makes it sound like that I'm diminishing Scripture when I'm not. Or maybe it makes it sound like that anybody who comes along and says, I've got a word from the Lord for you, that we're to bow down and worship that word. I'm not saying that. You judge the words according to Scripture. You take what people say to you. Is it relevant or is it not? Does it mean anything or doesn't? Does it mean absolutely nothing at all to you? Are they just so far off base? You know, I've had people come and say things and it's like, okay, well, I'll be polite to you, but man, I don't think you've got a clue. You know what I'm saying? I believe God would say, and I believe God wants. Now, quit hiding behind God and just tell us the truth. It's your emotions. It's not God. And I personally now, from my perspective, I am very hesitant to do things like that, because I know how important this is And I know that if I miss it, that can have a devastating effect on somebody's life. But I also know this, that God has spoken through me to people concerning things in their lives, and in some cases, with incredible pinpoint accuracy, things that have happened, things that have come to pass, and in some cases, things that could have been avoided if they just acted on what God said. I'm not God. I'm not the fourth person of the Godhead. I don't dwell in that category. Are you with me? I'm not deity. But I do know this. There are times that He has spoken through me to people. There are times He's spoken through me to groups. I know that. What they do with it, man, that's between them and God. But when I deliver what God's given me to deliver, I've done my part. So what happens is, you have people in the body of Christ who diminish the importance of receiving. See, how many of you have felt, you know, boy, it'd be nice if an angel would show up at my front door and give me a book that's got my life written in it and I'd know exactly what to do? How many of you know that's not going to happen? But God will at times speak through people to give you direction. And you have to judge it. You don't just, every time somebody says something, say, okay, amen, and run off and act on it. You don't do that. You judge it. You get in. Does it bear witness with your spirit? If they're saying God wants you to do whatever, does it line up with the Word of God? Is it a principle or a concept that meets scriptural criteria? I know this. I know it as I'm standing here. There are Christians who have received words directly from the Lord through a minister. They have done nothing with it. And they have missed God in the process. It was right there for them. And they didn't act upon it. And I don't know what else some people want. There are some of you that you have received words from the Lord and you haven't done anything with them. And tonight, what I'm trying to do is get across to you that God will speak through people directly into your lives concerning situations, concerning direction, concerning things that He wants you to do. You should treat this with the same respect as Scripture. It is not Bible. It will not be Bible. But remember back over there in Jeremiah. God spoke through Jeremiah to Hananiah. And 7 months later, the guy drops over dead. God spoke to him. At the time, it wasn't Scripture. Hananiah couldn't look at Jeremiah and say, excuse me, you got chapter and verse for that? There was no chapter and verse at that time. It didn't exist. But it was a word from God. And by golly, it came to pass. And I'll tell you this, the prophecy that Hananiah gave, he said 2 years from now, we're going to be free. Uh-uh. It didn't work. It didn't happen. Now, one of the mistakes that I've seen people make is when Christians run to preachers, God telling you anything about me? No. You got a word for me? One person asked me that one time too many. And I said, man, why don't you go get your own word? I said, why are you relying on me? Why don't you get in there with God and let Him speak to you? Do not run to preachers and ask them to give you a word. Remember in Rick Renner's book how the one person came up and said, you got a word for me? Rick Renner looked at him and said, you know, you're in rebellion to your pastor and you need to get in submission and all this. The guy didn't want to hear that, I'm sure. Don't go around asking people for words. If the Lord wants you to have one, He'll find somebody that'll give it to you. And just because somebody comes and says something, remember what Hananiah said? Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the God. No, just because somebody adds the Lord and God, the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus, blah, 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 just because they add that to it, does not mean it came from God. Don't live your life based only on what you hear people continue to prophesy to you. I got a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. God told me to say. God did this. Meet you out in the parking lot. God gave me a word for you. Sometimes, and I've been around people that at times I felt like they truly were speaking from what God had given to them. Other times, I was pretty well convinced they were speaking out of the flesh. That's why it's extremely important for you to grow and mature spiritually so that when a word does come forth, you're going to be able to judge it. The Holy Spirit, listen, somebody comes along to you and gives you a cock and bull story of something that didn't come from God, even though it may sound really good, if it's not of God, the Holy Spirit's on the inside going to be saying, don't receive it, don't act on it, don't live. This, I did not tell him to say that. But if it is from God, the Holy Spirit's going to say, are you listening? Are you listening to this? That's what I've been trying to get across to you for the last 4 months. But God wants you to hear it from this person because you're having trouble hearing me on the inside. So He wants you to hear this person on the outside. And this is what I want to get across to you. He will bear witness with you on the inside, an inner witness. And so if you don't grow spiritually to the point that you can differentiate between your emotions and what you want to hear God say to you, and the voice of the Lord on the inside of you confirming what He's saying to you, man, you can mess up big time. That's why it is wrong to base your life and your decisions strictly on what people come to you and say, got a word from the Lord. Jesus said, we're to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. That's why we need to be spiritually sensitive to the point to where we can determine whether or not this came from God or by somebody that thought they heard God. Maybe they heard somebody else. A wrong kind of a spirit. As much as possible, such words should be put on tape and given to the individual. They should be transcribed onto paper, studied, and prayed over by you, the person that receives them. Now, we're trying to get more efficient in this at our church, but this is a daunting task. Well, I guess maybe if you go to a church where this kind of stuff never happens, it's not much of a task at all. But when these kind of things take place, it's not just the individual words, but also the general words. You know, we're trying to get a handle in our church and making sure that all these things are documented and transcribed and so forth. But nevertheless, this should be done. Now, why should that be done? I have some things at home that people spoke over me like 15, 16, 20 years ago. People that I really trusted. And I've gone back and I've read some of those. And you know what? They're happening. Now, I am living in the manifestation of things that they said as God's mouthpiece to me. It's coming to pass before my very eyes. Now, here's what's interesting. I remember a couple of years ago, I went back and I read one, actually it was a couple, that I had forgotten about, that had been given to me like maybe 10, 12 years ago. And I go back and I'm reading this, and it was like, I'm reading my life today. It's like, wow! Look at that! That's some good stuff. I've forgotten about that. So what I've done is I've tried to go back and search through my Bibles where I would stick these things in and stuff like that and put them all together in a notebook. And you should do that. Now, what if you're at a church and you're called out by somebody and they minister a word to you and it's not recorded, so there's no way to really transcribe it? Go home and pray. Write down as much of it as you can remember and pray in tongues while you're doing it. And there's a good chance that the Holy Spirit will bring back to your memory every single word that was said. He can do that? Well, if He's the source, I guess He can. And even if you don't get it exactly word for word, He will help you put the message down on paper. Even if you miss, you know, a word here or there. Now, the reason this is very important is because, remember, the Bible is a general word, but people that come to you with the knowledge, prophecy, and wisdom, those are more specific for you. And Jesus said you're to live by every word. these kind of words have been given too little respect in the church, and many Christians have missed God because of it. Now, I know that this is, I know this gets into an area of, I know that I could be criticized by teaching this, but I want you to think back to what we read tonight about Jeremiah and Hananiah. They were in the temple before the priests and a bunch of people, were they not? In other words, let's just say they were two prophets standing there talking to each other in front of the pastor and the church staff and the congregation. All right, we'll bring it home. And the one stands up and he says, "Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt and this shalt and it will." The other one stands up and says, "Well, amen, so be it. I mean, hey, I like the sound of that word. It's a good word, isn't it? Everybody, oh yeah, praise God." Now you know that while Hananiah is standing there giving this, "Thus saith the Lord, the yoke shall be broken, Babylon's yoke shall be broken, the king of Babylon," and all this kind of stuff. Oh, you think those people just stood around, poker faced, never said a thing? They've been under oppression now, under the thumb of Nebuchadnezzar. Don't you think they want freedom? And here's the prophet saying, "Thus saith the Lord God Almighty, freedom, freedom, freedom. Yay, yay, oh, thank you, Jehovah. Thank you, Jehovah. We're going to be free. We're going to be free. We're going to be delivered, the yoke destroyed, blah, blah, blah." And then Jeremiah, he sees what's going on. Excuse me. Amen to that. I sure hope you're right. But let us not forget. And then he goes on and says what he says, and he leaves. Now you know good and well that some of those priests and the people that were standing there heard that, probably looked at each other and said, "What did he mean by that? Why did he say that? What's he talking about? I don't know. I don't know." 7 months later, when Hananiah drops over dead, don't you think they might have been a little concerned about the word they got from the Lord? You better believe it. By the same token, you take what has been given to you and you judge it. And you ask God to help you judge it. But the course of your life can, in part, be structured and ordered by words that God speaks through people to you. Words that you like, and words that you don't like. Kenneth Hagin went to a man and said, "You need to get this, this, and this changed in your life." How many of you have read that somewhere where Kenneth Hagin went to this preacher and told him three things that he had to change, and if he didn't, he's going to be dead within a certain period of time? I found out recently who that preacher was. I can't say. I found out who that was. And the guy didn't do it. And he died. Now, if he had taken that and framed his world with that, there's a good chance he'd still be alive today preaching the gospel. But he didn't do it. Now, he's got all kinds of scripture, but that was a specific word from God through a minister to that individual. And he rejected it and didn't do what was said, and he died. You say, "Well, yeah, but Brother Martin, how do you know? I mean, just how do you know?" Well, for one thing, a guy like Kenneth Hagin has a pretty good track record. And when he says thus and thus and such, you probably ought to pay attention to it. That's why if it's somebody... If Kenneth Hagin walked in here tonight and started giving me a word, I guarantee you I would pay attention. Somebody comes in here, I don't have a clue who they are, says, "Thus saith the Lord God Almighty, blah, 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 such and such." I'm going home and pray about it. I won't, you know, toss it out the window unless it's, you know, just plain goofy. I will pray about it. I will ask God, "God, is this really of you? I mean, is this guy, I don't know this guy, God. I need you to help me understand. Is this really from you?" Because if it is, I need to incorporate it into my life because it's a specific word that has proceeded forth from the mouth of God that I'm supposed to live by. Now, once again, in closing this tonight, I want to reiterate, I am not telling you that words of wisdom, knowledge, and prophecy that come through ministers are scripture, and should be looked at as Scripture. They're not. But they should be treated with the same respect. If it's a genuine word from God, they should be treated with the same respect as Scripture, because God has taken the time to speak forth something directly from His mouth to you concerning your life and your circumstances. And you can use it literally to change the course of your life. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You for Your Word. I thank You that it's true. I thank You, Father, that You love us enough to want us to walk in the fullness of everything that You have for us. And so tonight, Father, again, minister to us about what we've heard. Confirm to us, Father, what we're to live by. Help us to understand these concepts of faith in ways that we've never understood them before, so that we truly can live the way that You want us to live. Now, Father, as we leave tonight, once again, we just ask for and receive by faith divine protection. We bless You and we praise You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you next week. And prophecy is not now, nor will it ever be Scripture. It's never going to add to the Bible. It's never going to, we're not going to have Second Revelation or Second James or any of those things. It won't ever be there. But the source is exactly the same. Now in Jeremiah chapter 28, I want you to look here and see this. And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah the son of Azur the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying... Now stop right there. Here's the scenario. You have this guy Hananiah, who's the son of the prophet. They're in the house of the Lord in front of a bunch of priests and a bunch of people, and Hananiah is speaking to Jeremiah. Now here's what Hananiah says. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words, which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms, of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Then, now stop right here. In other words, what Jeremiah is saying, now you have to really read closely what's going on. Jeremiah is kind of at a pinch here. Everybody wants deliverance, right? Everybody wants the yoke of Babylon broken, right? So here comes Hananiah, and he says, or delivers, the popular message. It's going to be broken and all things restored. Now Jeremiah doesn't stand up and say, wrong, wrong, wrong. What Jeremiah says is, well, amen. I mean, hey, I hope you're right. And boy, I'd sure like to see that happen. But let me remind you of something. While we're all gathered together here, there are other people that have come along in the past, you know, the prophets before you and me, and they have spoken against these other kingdoms. But whatever prophecy comes to pass through the people that are speaking all of this peace, then we're going to know that the Lord has spoken through them. What Jeremiah is really doing is rebuking Hananiah. And he's telling him, look, others have come before you and tried this. It hasn't worked. They've been wrong. And buddy, you're wrong too. That's not how he put it. But let's read further. Then Hananiah, verse 10, the prophet took the yoke from off of the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. Now that's pretty heavy. Now here's what's interesting in this. Everything we just read became Scripture, but it wasn't Scripture at the time. You understand? Do you follow me in this? Jeremiah didn't pick it up and say, Now hold on there, Hananiah. Let me turn over and find this here, because I'm supposed to say something to you. It wasn't Scripture at the time. And here's what happened. Hananiah, he wasn't trying to mislead the people on purpose. You understand? I mean, the guy thought he was speaking for God, but he got caught up in the emotions. Jeremiah, he doesn't come down too hard on Hananiah. He gives him the benefit of the doubt, and he gives him kind of a hidden rebuke, and then goes his way. The Lord says, Go back to that man, and you tell him this. So Jeremiah turns around and goes back, and he says, Dude, you're going to die. And he did. That was my version. This was not Scripture when it happened, but Jeremiah received from God what to say. It was a word from the Lord. Now, later, it became Scripture, but at the time, it wasn't Bible. There was no Bible there. But it was a word from the Lord. And Jesus said, every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Let's take 5 minutes, and we'll come back and finish up for tonight. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Now, let me stop right here and throw this in. For the longest time, I couldn't figure this thing out, where he's talking about thrice I was beaten with rods. For a long time, I thought he was making reference to, have you heard of caning? You know what caning is? Where they tie you up and they take a cane and they whip you and just about kill you with it. I thought that's what he was talking about. I'm thinking in my mind, cane, rods. That's not what he's talking about here. There was a practice back in those days, to where for whatever reason, I guess they didn't need any good reason, just that they decided this is what they would want to do, they'd tie you down flat, and they would take rods, they could have been metal rods, but it could have been a wooden rod, but anyway, they would take these rods, and they would beat your feet until the bones in your feet were broken, and you couldn't walk. Well, he says this happened to him 3 times. 3 times. Now, that may not mean a whole lot to you, but what it means to me is this. Unless there was a miraculous healing of Paul's feet, he suffered every day of his life because he had to go from one place to the other to preach the gospel. You know what I personally believe? I believe the man was healed. I believe miracles took place in this guy's body. Anyway, why don't you take the miracle of a break for the next 5 minutes and we'll come back.